This is Wayne Daly, your host on Restoration Revival Hour. On the broadcast this week, I want to go back to another series of messages that I did on a subject as it was in the days of Lot. I want to go back and bring this out because certainly it's reflective to us of the apostasy and how a person can just really lose out with God and become, you know, just so lukewarm down inside. You just lose your way with God, lose your real divine sense and knowledge and understanding of good spiritual things. Well, Jesus warned us to remember Lot's wife, and certainly there's a message there that we ought to look into. So today I want to go back into this series and bring it forth for you in light of this long, lengthy message we've been in here concerning this last day falling away. So go with me now by tape into this pre-recorded series of messages. Well, today we want to go right on now. We want to talk about a verse of Scripture found here in Luke chapter 17. Beginning at verse 28, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, when the Lord says likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, he's saying it in connection with the preceding verses of Scripture, wherein he said, as it was in the days of Noah. Now, we realize in the days of Noah, the flood came and destroyed them all. And last week, we were exploring to see the reason why that flood came. Now, this week, we want to look at Sodom and Gomorrah. We want to look at the plain around about, and we want to try to understand why was it that fire fell from heaven and destroyed them all. And we want to look at Lot, and we want to see what are we supposed to learn about Lot out of this lesson. So let's ask ourselves those questions and begin to explore God's Word and see if we can't really come up with an answer. Now, a warning was given by Jesus in verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Now, there's a saying for us to take to heart. It's just like a, you know, it's like a proverb. It's there in the Word. It was given at the mouth of Jesus, and we're told that we should remember Lot's wife. Now, what is it we're supposed to remember from Sodom and Gomorrah? Remember Lot's wife. Now, get that point. Let that sink into your heart so you'll know what we're studying about here. We're going to try to remember Lot's wife. We're going to see what we can learn about Lot's wife, as well as we can learn about other things. Now, when you take it to heart, you're going to study God's Word, and you dig down deep into the Scripture, everything is there for a purpose. And God made no mistakes in writing His Word. Now, I'm intrigued by some things I see, and I'm intrigued by some things which I don't see in the Word of God. Now, I say that in light of verse 28. In the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Now, what is Sodom really noted for? Eating, drinking, buying, selling, planting, or building? Are those the things we would look at and say that's what Sodom is noted for? What is Sodom noted for? Well, you know as well as I do that Sodom is noted for its ungodly acts of homosexuality. Certainly the cities and the plain around about was given over to this vile, unclean sin, and yet the Lord says, like it was in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank. They bought, they sold, they planted, they builded, and never made mention of this vile sin. Why? I have to say, why did he leave that out and instead put down below here, remember Lot's wife? Oh, maybe there's something more here than just meets the eye. Maybe the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah then had something more to do here other than the fact that these wicked men of Sodom and Gomorrah were wicked sinners above all men in that day. Surely there's a deep message, and we don't want to miss one point of it. So remember Lot's wife. That's something we just have to kind of look to this story and explore for ourselves. Now, let's go back to the book of Genesis. The story of Lot, you know, Lot is first mentioned in chapter 11, but comes into prominence in the life of Abraham at the time when God called Abraham to depart out of Haran and go into Canaan's land and dwell there in the land of promise. And as God made great promise unto Abraham, he packed up, got ready to go into the promised land, and he took with him Sarah his wife, and he took Lot his nephew. Now, at this time, according to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 4, when Lot went with Abraham, he didn't have any wife. There's no wife mentioned here, although it carefully mentions Abraham's wife. And when they went together, they took all of their substance. And so we have Lot with his substance, we have Abraham with his substance, and the souls that worked with them and worked for them, their own servants, their hired servants, the men that, as we would say, that were born into their household as servants unto them, and all of their household goods they packed up, and they headed off for the promised land. Now we can see Lot clearly identified here as leaving Haran with Abraham and coming into the promised land as a single man. Then we find that the story goes on in the life of Abraham and Lot. After being a short time in the promised land, there was a famine in the land. And we can see that Abraham and Sarah and Lot, they just pulled up stakes and they journeyed down into Egypt and they spent some time there. And then they departed, finally, out of Egypt to head back into the promised land. And in chapter 13, we can find where they departed in verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all they had, and Lot with him into the south. Now you notice Lot is here again, and there's no mention of Lot having a wife. Lot's wife is not even in the picture. So we can see that Abraham and his wife and Lot, these three, the scripture would point out to us, departed now out of Egypt, went back into the land of promise, and begin to dwell together again in the promised land. Now the scripture says that Abraham was very rich. He had a lot of cattle, silver and gold, and surely Lot was wealthy too. And Lot had a lot of household goods. He had a lot of cattle. He had a lot of servants too. And he had his own herdsmen. And in the process of time, the scripture points out to us in this 13th chapter, that things got pretty bad between the herdsmen of Abraham and the herdsmen of Lot. So that they just were too big. They just had too cumbersome, an abundance of substance to dwell together. And they couldn't find enough grazing land, you know, and there began to be contention between the herdsmen over the grazing land. And so it just got to the point where there was a rift in the camp. And Abraham, when he was made aware of it, certainly didn't want any of this rift in his camp. And so he wanted to really get the matter straightened out. Now Abraham viewed it and he saw it as a need of separation. And so he confronted Lot about the matter, and we find in chapter 13 and verse 9, he said, "Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me, If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Now here, Abraham giving young Lot the choice of, you go one way and I'll go the other. You choose which place you want to go and dwell in, and, well, I'll just move out and I'll go in another direction. And this way we'll settle all of this contention that is between us. Now remember, both of these men are righteous men. Abraham, a righteous man. Lot, a righteous man. Lot knew the Lord. Abraham and Lot walked together, knowing the Lord. And so we have to kind of esteem this down deep in our heart when we talk about Lot. We're talking here now about a righteous man, one who knew God, one who knew the way of the Lord. So we can see in the Scripture that it came to the point of separation. And you know, we could talk a long time right here on this point of separation. There are a lot of points of separation that we meet along the journey which we have to take. You know, the Word of God would teach us this, that when a young man and woman get married, you know, they're to separate themselves from mother and father, and they're to move out on their own and start their own family. Well, there's a, you know, a godly separation. Not a separation because, you know, you hate one another. Not a separation because of evil, but a godly separation. There's a lot of such separations along a journey. And Abraham and Lot, they just made one here. Well, I can see I'm out of time, and tomorrow I want to pick up right here, and we want to see what took place during this time of separation. Father, I pray your blessing upon the message today, and I pray you'd bless it into our hearts, for we ask in Jesus' wonderful name, amen. On the broadcast today, I want to continue on with a message we began yesterday, entitled, As It Was in the Days of Lot, So Shall It Also Be in the Days When the Son of Man Is Revealed. We want to go back today to Genesis chapter 13 and continue to look on here in this story of Lot. And what we're looking for, we're wondering why fire judgment was poured out on the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we're striving to find out also why Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. We want to know why he said that. So we're going to look into it. Now I want you to realize I'm bringing these messages to you in order to help you prepare for the coming of Jesus Christ. I don't want you to be ensnared. I don't want you to be entangled. I don't want you to find yourself like Lot in that day, having to be dragged out of the city of Sodom. Well, let's turn to God's Word here now, and let's just see what happened to this young man Lot. Now, he had to make a choice in what direction he was going to go when he moved away from his uncle Abram. Now, as we look at Lot's choice, his choice is spelled out to us here. And it says in verse 11 in Genesis 13, Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and separated themselves one from the other. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now, we've got to stop and take note of the details of the things which the Lord tells us. Now, Lot looked out, and he saw the well-watered plains. You know, as you walk along in your experience, you got to be very careful because, you know, it's the devil's business to help you to get your eyes on something that looks good out there in the world or something that will lead you away from this true walk with God and walking in the light and walking in victory with God from day to day. And if he can lead you astray with something, hey, he'll do it. And here Lot, looking out, seeing the well-watered plains, made a choice that he was going to move in that direction. Now, you don't suppose for a minute that Abraham and Lot was ignorant of what was out there in the land. Don't think for a minute that they didn't know that out there in them
very plains were the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and all of the wickedness and vileness that was out there. Yet Lot chose to go in that direction. Now, one couldn't say that Lot was led here in this choice by the Spirit of God. You know, the Spirit of God doesn't lead any man into temptation, and surely going in this direction was going to become a great temptation to this young man, Lot. So the Scripture said that Lot moved out, and he headed in that direction, and he pitched his tent toward Sodom, and he dwelt out in the fringes in some of the small towns and villages, and for a while he could content himself out there. Well, this is a mistake in Lot's life. And you may be right at that crossroad in your life today where you are about to make a mistake. Well, you want to think you can move out. You want to go on your own. You don't want to listen to anybody else now. You want to just go on your own. You want to step out there. Hey, you better be careful what you're stepping out to. And you best be careful in the direction you go that you're truly led by the Spirit of God, or you might wind up like this young man, Lot. Now, Lot went journeying that direction, and it wasn't long until Lot proceeded to go a little farther. Now, there came a time when the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah were at war. And you know, there was an adversary rose up against them and came, and they were defeated, and they were carried away captive. And the Scripture said in Genesis 14, verses 11 and 12, and they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah, and all their vehicles, and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Now this young man, who went out and pitched his tent toward Sodom, according to this scripture, now lives in Sodom. Hey, he's a resident. He moved right into the city. He went down in the midst of this wicked place to live. Now, of all the things in all the world he could do, surely this was not a place for a young man like Lot to be journeying onto. But yet he found himself moving right into Sodom, moved right in that wicked place. Now, the Bible says God's testimony of Sodom in Genesis 13:13, the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And God, seeing the wickedness of this area progress and get worse and worse and worse, God seeing the homosexual activity in this place becoming such a blight and such a plague upon the earth that God could not bear to hear about it or see it any longer. And it came up into the mind of God to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and to burn those cities to an ash heap. And it was in the heart and mind of God to put down such wickedness and such evil. But you know, down there in the midst of that wicked, evil place, this young man Lot, who was a righteous man, who moved down into that area and moved into the city, and you know, surely, God loved Abraham, and Abraham was a friend of God. And you know, as the angels were headed to look to see if the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah was as bad as it was, and was sent with the power and the authority of God to destroy those cities and to burn them to the ground, well, certainly they stopped by to see Abraham on their way. And they told Abraham what God would do. And as they departed toward Sodom, Abraham stood and he prayed and he made intercession. And his heart was so burdened. My, God is going to burn those cities to the ground. And down there, my nephew Lot and his family is in that city. And Abraham thought of Lot and his family. Hey, Lot is now a family man. And he's down in the city of Sodom. And there he's raising up children. And Abraham began to think about all of that. And Abraham began to make intercession. And he began to cry out to God, God, suppose there be 50 righteous people down there in that wicked place. Would you spare the city for the sake of 50 righteous? And surely God said he would spare Sodom if there were 50 righteous people. Would you spare it if there was 45? Would you spare it if there was 40? Would you spare it if there was 30? Would you spare it if there was 25? And he kept praying, and he kept making intercession until he came down, and he said, God, don't get angry with me, but would you spare it if there was 10 righteous people in that city? I wonder why Abraham came down to the point of praying and saying, if there were 10 righteous people in that city, would you spare it? Now, here's this young man, Lot, who had moved out. Now, some 20, 22 years prior, moved away from Abraham and was now down here in this city and living there and had raised a family. Now, we stopped to look and added up and counted up and figured out according to the Word of God, and there was at least 10 souls in Lot's family in Sodom. There was Lot, his wife. The Bible said he had sons, which would mean he'd have to have at least 2 sons. He had 2 married daughters and 2 sons-in-laws. And then he had 2 virgin daughters. And when you add it all up, it adds up to 10 souls that Abraham was making intercession. Now, what Abraham was really saying, God, if my nephew Lot and his family down there are in the city righteous, would you spare the city for their sake? God said if there were 10 righteous in that city, he would spare the cities of Sodom. In other words, it never been God's policy to destroy the righteous with the wicked. God would not be guilty of destroying the righteous with the wicked. And certainly that's the purpose of the rapture, that we might be taken out of this world, that God would not destroy the righteous when he brings fire judgment upon the world to destroy the wicked. Well, thank God that we're not appointed under wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Abraham's faithful intercession, his faithful crying out to God, was so very important. And mother, can I tell you something right now? You grieved, your heart aches, and you know, down deep inside, you've been so troubled and you've been so vexed over your children. You've been so vexed because they, like Lot, wandered out towards Sodom and moved right in. And you look and you say, my wonderful son that I brought up in church, my wonderful daughter that I really trained up in the ways of God and used to sing in the choir and get so happy in church and dance in the Spirit and so on and so on. And you look at all of that and you say, oh God, and there they are now, Lord, they're out there. My Lord, they're down to bottom. Lord, they're doing anything and everything that they can do to mess up their life. And you look and your heart is torn and your heart is grieved and you don't know what to do. You don't know what way to turn and you wonder what on earth is ever going to happen to them. I'll tell you, right here's where you need to be like Abraham. You need to pray. You need to make intercession. You need to hang right on to God. And you need to believe right down in the very depths of your soul. God, you deliver that son. Lord, you deliver that daughter. God, let them not have rest and pleasure in their sin. Lord, bring them to the place where they're so sick and tired of it. They'll run to get back to God. They'll run to get back to church. They'll run to get back home and say, Mom, pray for me and help me. I just can't find my way. You know, your prayers and your intercession can be just as weighty with God as it was with Abraham. Father, I pray your blessing upon the message today. And I pray you'd bless it into our hearts. For we ask in Jesus' wonderful name, amen. On the broadcast today, I'm going right on with this message. Jesus saying unto us, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it also be in the days when the Son of Man shall be revealed. And calling us to bear in mind that we should remember Lot's wife. I'm going on today here in Genesis chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. Have your Bible handy. Why don't you open up and follow along with me? And there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Now it might be noteworthy to you to see, here's this man Lot. Abraham had prayed and interceded that God would not destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah if there were 10 righteous in the city. And here's Lot, whom very well Abraham had hoped and believed that somehow God would miraculously spare him from being destroyed with the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. But we find Lot sitting at the city gate. Now back in these days it was customary that the elders of the city would gather together at the city gate. And you know the type, the ruling elders of the city, the people who would be, you know, rulers of the land. Their customary place to assemble was right at the gate of the city. Here we find Lot, where we might think of him as, you know, he rose up to prominence. Hey, he moved down here years ago into this city and raised a family here in the city. And he's kind of a man of prominence. And Lot, you know, though he's drifted a long ways from his right place with God, seeing these two angels, recognized him, knew they were angels, took time to invite them to come to his house. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. Now, very well, Lot here has no idea of what's coming, has no feeling that pending judgment hangs heavy over the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He doesn't have any inkling whatsoever that these angels have come with a mission to destroy that wicked place. He really mentions to them, well, come and stay with me tonight, and in the morning get up and go your way. No, that's not what they came for. And so they said, no, we won't stay at your house. We're going to dwell in the streets all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. I wonder why Lot was so concerned here to persuade these two angels to turn in and abide at his house. Hey, Lot knew what went on in the streets of Sodom all night. He knew what went on when a stranger came to town. He knew very well what went on down there in that wicked place. And therefore, you know, he did have enough of God in his heart to fear these angels being in the street. What would happen? What would the men of the city do? So, you know, he pressed them greatly. Hey, come on, come on, come on to my house and stay. And finally, they conceded and went to Lot's house, and Lot got supper for them, and they had a feast together. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, and all the people from every quarter. Well, my, what on earth is this? All of a sudden around about Lot's house, there's a big gathering of people, a crowd, young men, old men, everybody's come. They've gathered around, and you know, they've come from every quarter, all over the city. My, it sounds like a drove of men have come now and gathered themselves outside of the house. And they called unto Lot, and they said unto him, where are the men which came in unto thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. Well, Lot, hey, where's those two fellows we saw coming into your house? Hey, bring them out here. We want to know them. Now, what did they want to know these men for? Hey, let's not be naive. It wasn't they wanted to get acquainted. The scripture said they wanted to know them. That word know them is used out throughout the scripture to reflect unto us, you know, a sexual relationship. Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and brought forth Cain. I mean, that's a common phrase that's used in the Bible. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Well, Lot went out now, and he said, hey, fellas, slow down here. Hey, what are you up to? Hey, don't be so wicked. Don't be so vile here. But they gathered themselves together at the door, and they had one thought in mind. Hey, here's a couple of strangers, and we want to have something to do with them. Hey, bring them out unto us. And listen to the words of Lot. Boy, if this doesn't stir you down inside. Behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye unto them as it is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Hey, I brought these men into my house so nothing would happen to them, so that this thing wouldn't take place. Now, that's the very reason I brought them. Hey, look, I've got two virgin daughters. I'll send them out to you. Hey, you can take them and do what you will to them. But these two men, hey, leave them alone. Lot knew they were angels, and he knew very well that this wasn't going to go over very big with them. Well, we've got to stop here and take a good spiritual look. And we say, why did God destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? In this wicked place, look it. Now, here's two angels of God. They don't know they're angels. Lot knew it. But they didn't know they were angels. To them, they were just a couple of more fellas. Just a little more, you know, strange flesh. Someone else they could gratify their lust and their burning desire upon. And these homosexual men, they just wanted to have a homosexual affair. And so they're begging Lot, hey, bring them out here. Hey, we're going to do this thing. Hey, this is what we've set our heart to do tonight. Hey, don't bother us. And you know, when they had women offered to them, virgin girls, never touched, you see, they had no interest whatsoever in them. You know, that's one thing about the homosexual. You know, when a man becomes homosexual, he takes a spirit onto him, and that old spirit turns his natural affections away. And he loses his interest in women or in a woman. He doesn't want a woman. He doesn't want a relationship with a woman. He wants another man. And here you can see it portrayed right here in the Word of God, their wickedness. These men lost their natural affection. They burned in their lust one toward another. And as they burned in their lust, they had no desire. And Lot's virgin daughters was nothing unto them. They weren't even interested. Well, we know that's the way homosexual, you know, behavior is. It turns men to burn in themselves. It turns women to burn in themselves toward other women. And you know, in the eyes of God, what a vileness, you know, is really there in this affair. And we certainly got to understand how vile homosexuality is. You know, we live in a generation, they call themselves gay. Well, let me tell you, they're not gay. What we think of the word gay, you know, we used to think of being gay as being happy. If that's happiness, I'll tell you, the world needs none of it. Well, we've got to understand that this so-called gay world, you know, they have their sayings. They call it sexual preference. Well, that's exactly what it is. It's their preference. They want it that way. It's their choice. It's their own doing. Yet some have nerve enough to say, God made me that way. Oh, what an insult to God Almighty. To think that God would make anybody to be that vile. To think that God would bring anybody down to that depths and degradation. To think that God would really, you know, create somebody to be like a pig. Well, we just have to stop and say, surely it's a man's own doing, being led of the devil, being led into perversion, perverting the right ways of God. Well, we wonder, why did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Here is a picture of how bad it really was. Now, Lot is standing outside the door here, trying to reason with them. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fella came to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. My, they said, well, fella, hey, you're not going to let us to these two fellas. Hey, we're going to do this to you. We'll rape you right here on your doorstep. And they proceeded to press old Lot right up against the door. You know, they were going to break the door down. Hey, nothing is going to keep us from what we want to do. Now, in the last days, we can expect homosexual gangs to be just as strong as they. Really, right out there, they'll just rape people on the street. They'll get right out there in gangs and do it. And surely, we hear wind and tales of such things happening in the cities of America even this very day. Well, we've got to consider this is how far things go and how bad they really can get. Now, the angels of God, they just pulled that door open and they yanked old Lot back inside. And I'll tell you, they just brought a plague of blindness around about that door. And this band of wicked homosexuals were blinded right there at Lot's door. Well, it just really begins to show us and reflect to us how bad and how grievous the sins in Sodom had really grown.
Father, I pray your blessing on the message today. I pray you'd bless it into our hearts. And bless us with understanding, for we ask in Jesus' wonderful name, amen.
As we go on in our message today, taking up the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord being unto us as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it also be in the days when the Son of Man shall be revealed. We're going back to Genesis chapter 19 today. We're going to look a little deeper into this matter, and as we left off in our broadcast yesterday, as the angels of God smote the wicked men of Sodom at the door of Lot's house, yanking Lot back into the house and beginning to speak and to minister unto him. And in verse 12 it said, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Well, I guess Lot's getting a little first-hand information on why these two angels came to town. And they begin to warn Lot, hey, look, you better get a hold of your family. You better get a hold of them and talk to them now and gather them together and get them out of this place, for surely we're going to destroy this wicked place. Well, you know, having received such a message as that, I'll tell you that would be enough to get right down into your heart and cause most men to want to get serious and say, hey, let's get out of here before the fire falls. Hey, let's get out of here and escape the judgment. The scripture tells us what happened. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocketh unto his sons-in-law. Now you see, he went out there and he told them what was going to happen. Hey, these were young men that grew up in Sodom, and they married his daughters. And you know, they don't seem to have any concern to pay any attention to what Lot is saying. There's no fear in their hearts of pending judgment. There is no believing the message that God is going to destroy the place. Hey, they just looked at old Lot and they said, hey, fella, beat it. What are you telling us this stuff for? And you know, they didn't want to pay any mind to their father-in-law. Didn't want to listen to what he had to say. Well, we know that's kind of a, you know, a common old story. When you try to warn people of pending judgments, when you warn people about the judgment of God, you always seem like one that mocks. They always will cry out and say, well, you know, you're peddling fear. You're talking all these things that God is going to do. Well, I'll tell you, he might have seemed as one that mocked, but I'll tell you, when they saw the fire fall, I suppose they wished inside, they would have gave heed to those things which had been delivered unto them. But no, they didn't pay any mind. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Now, in the morning, the angels just had to get right on Lot and say, Come on now, Lot, let's get with it. I'll get your wife and get your two daughters and get out of the city. Come on, get ready, pack up, move out of here. Lot, if you don't move out of here, you'll be consumed with the iniquity of this wicked place. Well, you know, this was a little hard for Lot to do. This was a little hard even for Lot to take. It wasn't an easy thing to get ready to get out of there. Hey, after all, they were engrossed in that place. After all, he had to get his wife ready and his daughters ready to get out of there. He had to move, you know, get a hold of them. Well, you know, the scripture said, and while he lingered. Now, why would anybody linger? You know, pending judgment hangs over your head. Hey, why linger? Hey, let's move on. Let's do what we're told to do. Then it goes on to say, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful unto them, they brought them forth and set him without the city. Now, think of that. The angels of God had to get right on Lot, and you might say, take him by the hand and drag him out of the city. Drag his wife out of the city. Drag his daughters out of that wicked place. One would have thought, in hearing the word of the Lord, they'd have jumped up and run out of that place. But you know, when you get backslid, when you fall away from God, when you drift away from the truth of God's word and get cold in your heart and no longer retain that real strong spiritual vigor that you should, you know, after a while that's the way you'll act. God will say move, and hey, you won't be moving. You won't be responding. You won't be paying any attention. You won't be listening. And someone warns you, and well, you're just not going to give any mind to what they say. How often we try to warn people. How often we try to guide people aright. How often we try to show people the wrong steps they're taking. But you know, it'll always come back and they'll mock you for it. Hey, they'll be down on you because you're trying to straighten things out for them, trying to help them along the way. Some will even get beside themselves and say, well, mind your business. Leave me alone. Hey, if I want to die, let me die. If I want to give my life over to falling in the sewer and, you know, messing my life up, leave me alone. Don't bother me. Well, we just can't stand back when that sort of thing is going on and say that we're not going to do something about it. Now, they stood outside the city, and they still were talking to Lot. And out there, you know, they began to speak, and they said, Escape for thy life, and look not behind thee, neither stay thou in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. Well, we've got to give ear to that as well. Take heed. Don't hang around here. Know assuredly, God is going to destroy this wicked place. Hey, break your ties right now. Break your heart loose from this wicked place. Come on, loose yourself from it and turn and run and escape, and knowing that you're escaping for your very life. If you don't get out of here, God will surely destroy this place and you with it. And old Lot is surely being strongly warned of God. Hey, come on, get up and flee to the mountains. Don't hang around down here in the plain. Come on, move out of here. Get up there on higher ground. Get out of the way. And you know, even at that, old Lot stood and argued and begged of the angels mercy that he wouldn't have to go to the mountains and ask to flee to a little city called Zoar, and wanted to go there rather than to the mountains, fearing his life. When the angels told him where to go, well, finally, he even got the angels to consent that he could go there. Well, today, we can see now Lot moving out of the wicked place, the result of the prayers and the intercession of faithful Abraham. Look, oh, Lot, really hardly seemed worthy of getting out of the city. Seemed hardly worthy that God should even be merciful to him. But God was merciful. Remember, I told you Lot was a righteous man. And he backslid, and he went back. And when he left Abraham, and he went out, we follow his pathway now. Remember, he pitched his tent toward Sodom, and then he dwelled in Sodom. And my, the next thing you know, we find him sitting at the gate of the city of Sodom. And here we find him down in Sodom now. He has a family. Everything is just really, you know, raised up his children right down there. What a wickedness to bring a family up in. Well, we're going to have to say it like it is. Lot lost his separation unto God, and Lot got engrossed, and Lot got entangled with the world, and he got encamped in among the wicked and the evil, and surely made a mess out of his life and out of his testimony. You've heard the old expression, you know, well, I escaped by the skin of my teeth. Well, I'll tell you, Lot escaped, and it would seem like the escape was by the skin of his teeth. He narrowly made it out of that wicked city. Now, you know Abraham prayed, God, if there be 10 righteous in that city, would you spare it? Well, there wasn't 10 righteous in the city. And we just have to stop and say, God didn't find any reason to spare the city. Though Abraham prayed and made intercession, God was merciful, and God delivered Lot out of the city, that he might destroy it, and that Lot would not perish in it. Oh, the mercy of God. I tell you today again, as I told you yesterday, it's time for God's people, you know, when we see those backsliding, falling away, drifting away, when we see friends and loved ones, men and women that were once called our dear brother and sister in the Lord, and then we see them wandering back, getting mixed up, getting into the vileness of the world again, and we look at them out there and we say, oh God, what happened? My, that man used to be such a wonderful witness for the Lord, and now look at him, and he's drugged down again. You know, good old-fashioned intercessory prayer, to pray and intercede and call on God. And you know, there's a multitude of people that's not going to make the rapture unless somebody will really stand in the gap and make up a hedge and cry out to God, oh God, send a revival, sweep over the land, stir once again, revive the hearts of men and women, bring forth righteousness to reign in the nation again, and someone will stand in the gap and cry out in behalf of those of the land that suffer and are vexed and are in need, and someone that will cry out. Can God count on you to stand in the gap in this day and cry out for revival and refreshing from the hand of God? My, what an intercessor, what a prayer warrior old Abraham really was, and how we need to take his advice, and how we need to pray and make much intercession today as we reach out, as we launch out with God, as we look for greater things here at the close of the age. Yet we know in our heart that we're warned that this day would be like it was in the days of Lot.
Father, I pray your blessing on the message today, praying you'll bless it into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
On the broadcast today, we want to go on with this message we've been on this week. The Lord speaking his word unto us and saying this, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it also be in the days when the Son of Man shall be revealed. Today, let's go back again to Genesis chapter 19. And as we look into God's word today, we surely want to bring a conclusion to this matter that you might see why God rained fire and brimstone from heaven upon this ungodly, wicked city or cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. We have the angel of the Lord speaking unto Lot now. In verse 22 here in Genesis 19, haste thee, escape thither, for I can do nothing till thou be come thither. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun
was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city and that which grew upon the ground. Well, here we surely can see what God did when he overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. How he speaks of his judgment being poured out upon them. Now, we already talked this week about the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah. We talked about their homosexuality and their great homosexual practice. How they would, you know, desire to rape the angels that came down into the city to even bring the judgment. Well, we can see there's that great reason. Surely, God will overthrow. And God will overthrow violently for such perverseness of men. And I want you to know we're living at a time when this perverseness is becoming widespread in the land. My, hordes and hordes of homosexuals gather together, of lesbians gathering together today, demonstrating. My, running for political office, being elected. My, just the other day, the city of San Francisco talking about, you know, recruiting maybe as many as 300 homosexual police officers. I mean, what on earth is this nation coming to? My, we just have to take a look out and say, Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, we realize that vileness is a stench unto our nation. My, what a bad reflection unto our nation. Well, we've got to look and say, because of that, surely the wrath of God will fall in these last days because of the vileness and the wickedness and the evilness and the perverseness, not only of this nation, but of the nations of the world. But we've got to look beyond that. There are yet other reasons. It says in verse 26, but his wife looked back from behind, and she became a pillar of salt. First of all, we might talk about Lot's wife here, who, along with Lot, received instruction, when you go, don't look back. Don't turn and look back. Well, she disobeyed. She turned, and she looked back, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. Remember the words of Jesus? He said, remember Lot's wife. Well, mostly we remember her right here and say, well, she turned back. She looked back. She became a pillar of salt. But may we open our eyes a little bit farther and say, who was Lot's wife? Now, there's the question. Who was Lot's wife? Where did Lot get his wife? I pointed out to you that when he left Haran with Abraham and went into the Promised Land, he didn't take a wife with him. When he went down into Egypt with Abraham and came out, he didn't have a wife with him. And when he separated from Abraham, he still didn't have a wife with him. But when he pitched his tent towards Sodom, and he began to look out there, somewhere out there in the process of time, after he left Abraham and walked away, he found a wife. He married a woman. No doubt he married a woman who was a resident of Sodom. And there he was pulled down into that city. And there he made his habitation. And there, in that ungodly influence, he raised his family. And there, surely Lot lost out, and he backslid. And we can see this righteous man, which Lot is a type of, defiling himself, going down into that wicked place, marrying there and staying down there, surely look and say, well, it is a type to us just like it was in the days of Noah when the sons of God defiled themselves with the daughters of men and brought the great flood of water upon the earth. Here we can see the similarity here in the days of Lot. Lot, that righteous man who would be a son of God, went down there and vexed his soul. And there, he not only vexed his soul, my, his sons perished down there. His daughters perished down there. His sons-in-laws
perished down there. And outside the city limit, his wife was turned to a pillar of salt. And on top of that, when he escaped finally out of Zoar and went into the mountains, we look at the Word of God and it would show us that Lot had children to his own two virgin daughters out there in the mountain. My, what ungodly things developed as a result of it. Righteousness did not prevail. Righteousness was not in Lot's family as righteousness should be in a righteous man's house. Well, we've got to look and see that certainly the things that happened to Lot when he turned toward Sodom, when he intermarried down there, when he got himself involved and pulled into that community, when he got himself all taken up in that worldly way, the Bible said he vexed his righteous soul from day to day in hearing and in seeing the wickedness of that place. And only by the skin of his teeth was he delivered out. Only because Abraham made intercession and cried out on his behalf. And you know, really, Lot and his two daughters, all of his family that escaped, look at the harm that came to him. Well, Jesus wanted us to see something, and he said, as it was in the days of Lot, so it would be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Well, in the days of Lot, what was Lot doing? Well, no doubt, Lot was doing what Jesus said. He was, you know, in that place where he was eating and he was drinking. You know, he was sowing and he was reaping. He was right in that place where he was building. He was doing all of those things which the Lord spoke to say. Lot was all taken up with that, surely. But in the midst of it all, Lot lost his way with God. He lost sight of God. He defiled himself down there. He vexed himself. You know, he just really vexed his soul. And you know, only the faithfulness of a friend, of an uncle like Abraham, to really make intercession, got him out of there. Now today, we've got to understand these relationships are spoken of as bringing the world down. In the days of Noah, these relationships in the days of Lot, surely talking to us along with the other evil and wickedness. My, it was bad enough that the sins of Sodom were to the full and pending judgment was hanging over their head. But my, worse than that, here was a righteous man vexing his soul down there among them. Someone would say, what is that godly man doing down there? Why, what is Lot doing down there sitting in the gate of that wicked place? Why should Lot, a righteous, godly man, want to be identified with that kind of wickedness? Well, I'll tell you, to be identified with it, he just had to lose out. He just had to lose his way. He just had to backslide to get there. And I'll tell you today, if we're not careful, as the days wear on and the times grow worse and worse, you know, we can do the very same things. And the church, we have to realize the church can go out there and get so intermarried with the world that the children of God get so taken up and so worldly and just bring the world into the church more and more and bring the church into the world until after a while you can't tell what is the world and what is the church. And you just can't really discern because men don't want to stand apart and stand up and stand out for God. Well, today, we can look at the Word and see how important it was. Now, God made an example out of Lot and out of Lot's wife. God made an example out of them both. And he talked about the days of Lot, and he warned the world by it of the pending fire judgments that God will bring upon the earth in these last days. Jesus used it as an example to warn the world to get prepared because such a day is going to come. And I'll tell you, if you want to flee from the wrath to come, you better run to Jesus as fast as you can go. You better turn your life over to Him. You better get right with God. And if you're in an ungodly relationship, you better toe the mark and walk with God. You better be careful every day. Don't you let another man or another woman
bring such influence into your life that they're going to tear down your morals, that they're going to tear you away from Jesus. They're going to tear you away from the faith that's in the Son of God. Or, you know, one day you too may stand as an example of what it means to let yourself go. Now, I know some of you are mixed up. I know some of you have a bad relationship. I know some of you are in a very hard place, but you've got to keep your testimony. You've got to walk uprightly with God. And I'll tell you, better like Abraham, get in that prayer closet and do some real serious praying and intercession, that God would change the state of your life. That God would change it for you. That God would do some saving in your house. That God would straighten out some of those ungodly problems. That God would come and bring and rain righteousness there in your home, that He might make a change.
Father, I pray Your blessing on the Word today. Pray You'd bless it into our hearts. For we ask in Jesus' name, Amen.